Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew, and tonight I want to welcome author, researcher, talk show host, and filmmaker, Augie Nost. How you doing tonight, Augie?
Doing wonderful. Must be wonderful. Nobody's complaining, so I claim that.
That's excellent. I'm doing well myself. And, you know, you pretty much research every topic and more that I cover on my show. So you have a broad range of topics that we're going to be talking about tonight. I'm very excited about that. But before we get into any of that, you have a very interesting background. So let's start with that. Let's start with your background and then what got you started doing some of this research.
I guess I was born and raised in Europe, in Northern Europe, in Norway, and a long, long time ago. And I grew up on a farm. I went to agricultural college, became an agronomist. And of course, you know, I'm supposed to take over the farm. And I figured that out, that it really wasn't what I wanted to do. So at the age of 25, I left Norway and come to the United States to become a commercial pilot. And did that, got all my certificates and ratings and so on. And 3 years later, after I got here, me and a partner started a flight school, and that grew into an international air taxi and an air carrier. And we had that in Minneapolis. We were flying out of Anoka County Airport for many years. And after flying for 23 years, in and out of freezing mud and thunderstorms, you know, you kind of wear out after a while. And I did. So I quit doing that and I started doing other things like mind development and research into the paranormal, which I actually started back in Europe when I was probably around 10, 12. But I continued and I spent 1 year actually, which I really have to mention that because it made such an impact on me. And that is that I traveled around the country, taught a mind development course. It's what's called now Zox Pro, Z-O-X-P-R-O, where we taught people anything from photographic memory to how to read and assimilate information out of a book at 95%, about a 50 to 100,000 words per minute with 95% retention. And this is something that I learned a lot that year. I probably read over 1,000 books that year. And it was so much fun and it was so much rewards from helping people that came into the class with dyslexic. They couldn't hardly read at all. A week later, evening classes, a week later, they were reading by the rest of them at 75,000 words a minute. So they were so important to my further development. That's why I'm mentioning it. And of course, I moved from Omaha, Nebraska down to Tucson, Arizona in 1999. And 3 months later, I ended up with a radio show, and they talked me into getting on the ballot and running for Congress. And that was probably a bad move because politics is not necessarily the most positive arena in the world. And of course, I made a lot of enemies from exposing fraud and wrongdoings by government. So that went down the wrong direction too. But I've done a lot of radio shows, and I was hosting and producing two TV shows in Tucson for 6 years. And I don't know, it's just, here I am, you know, it's just, the show goes on.
Yes, and you know, one thing I consider you a true fighter for our freedom is you were actually arrested. And the reason I think is just so admirable. I'd like you to tell the story about how that happened.
Oh boy. Let's see. There's an old saying, you know, true freedom fighters, they go to jail once in a while. And they do. Because when I was in Tucson, started in 1999 and got on the ballot, I had a radio station. Me and two other guys had a radio station here. And we was mostly talk radio, and we were educating people on the law and our rights the Constitution and all the ills that government does. And of course, you know, that didn't go over too well at City Hall. So I got on their, excuse my language, shit list. And then when I got on the ballot and ran for Congress, I was, every time my opponent, the incumbent senator, opened his mouth, they usually lie about things. And I jumped on top of that and exposed the fraud and his lies. And that didn't go over too well either. So I was doing two TV shows at the time, and they wanted me off the air really bad because I was exposing them.
I guess. And,
yeah, we had 500,000 people watching the show every week. And, you know, this, that was bad publicity for them. So that didn't go over too well. Anyway, they were looking for an opportunity to get me somehow. And at one point, it was a friend of mine. He was about to lose 5 properties. The city was going after him because they wanted the properties. And he was defending that. And he wasn't doing too well. So we talked about what to do about it. So he transferred one of the properties to me. And he figured, as a paralegal, I maybe could defend it better than he could. And I did. So they lost the other 4. And I helped them with some paperwork. And one of the pieces of paperwork that I did for him was to verify that he had followed the process outlined to defend himself as it is prescribed in the Uniform Commercial Code. And then he did something stupid that I didn't know about. He went and filed a lien on a judge. And that really never should have been done. But because I helped with some of that paperwork, they came after me, and they charged me with a felony. They called it a criminal syndicate. And then, of course, I got hauled into court, and I had to defend myself. And I think we figured it out by now that in the United States, there is no law anymore. This judge's opinion is law. So that's how it ended up. Whenever I brought something up, it was denied. Whenever the prosecutor brought something up, usually, then it was okay. But what kind of clinched it all to the point of conviction was that right before the jury came, the jury had come in, and in the jury briefing, the judge told the jury that the court has determined these people had, me and a co-defendant, we had engaged in criminal activity, and if they did not judge, so they could get in trouble.
Wow.
And it slid right by me. I heard it, but it slid right by me. I didn't catch it well enough to oppose to it. What he did, he ordered the jury to convict. And of course, that's what they did. So I went to prison for 4 years for doing the right thing. And that's basically the story.
Yeah, and you're a true freedom fighter for doing that. I mean, you know, I commend you. You know, how was that stay? I understand that you got a lot of work done while you were there.
Oh, it was a great vacation. Well, I'll take the word great back, but it was a vacation. I wrote 2 books while I was there, and that came out really good for me because if it had not been for that, chances are I would not have written those books. I was working on one, but it was a totally different book, and that's still sitting there. It's a little too controversial because that is about all and everything that is going on in this political system, and I'm going to leave that one alone for now. It's in a place that if ever anything happens to me, then it will be published. But otherwise, I'm going to leave it alone. But I learned a lot. I had time to meditate every day. And I had time to myself. I went in within, and I had one incredible experience while I was there. and that I had a total download of the universe. It was explained to me in concept and detail. And it started, I might as well go there since we started on this path. I was sitting in meditation and I start seeing these light flashes coming in from the side and coming into my center of the field of vision. And I've had things like that, so I didn't really put too much emphasis on it. But after about a minute or so, this became very strong and it got more and more and more of this light coming in to the point where the whole, everything around me was just light. And then I could start seeing things in this boiling soup of things that there was concept, ideas, people, inventions, and it was all just kind of floating around, and I could concentrate on a particular thing in that soup. And as soon as I kind of moved my eyes towards where it was, it popped out, I could see it. But I could see also the conceptual ideas and the detail of everything was available to me. So it wasn't just what I popped out, that became more detail, but it was all in there and I had the understanding of it. And this lasted for just a few seconds, maybe over in 5 to 10 seconds, and then it just started slowly fading for the next time after that. And it went away. And after that was gone, then I opened my eyes and I just sat there and I thought, wow, you know, what can I do with this? What should I do? And I didn't really want to talk to anybody because you're in a place that if you start talking about seeing things and hearing voices, you know, they take you in a back room, someone will shoot you full of drugs. And so I didn't talk much about it, but after a little while, I talked to another guy there, a very well-educated man that was there. And I told him about it, and he says, oh, he says, that makes perfect sense to me. He says, there's a book that you need to go up to the library and get, he says, and it deals with quantum mechanics. It's all in there, he says, just go read it. I did. And by golly, there it is, much of what I saw. So that is quantum mechanics will pretty much, if we go into the depth of it, it will explain the universe and our position in it and what we are and even who we are. Those are not the same things. What we are and who we are is not the same things. Because we are spiritual entities having an experience in a physical, mind-created reality. And this gets rather deep, but quantum mechanics supports it because it's we have proven that the mind, everything starts in the mind, and the mind creates everything around us. And we have more than one universe to deal with. Each one of those universes are called the universe, but when you look at all of them, they're all multiverses.
So in a way, we could basically, I mean, I was just talking with someone about this earlier, we create our own reality, and there could be the possibility of multiple realities existing at the same time.
And on top of that, you just might be in all of them.
Right.
And there are physicists now coming out saying that there is a good likelihood we are in more than one universe. They can see it in the formula, I mean, in the equations, because they see the similarity. If they go down two paths using the same equations, then they can see the similarities in those two universes. So there is very likely that we are in more than one. Even Stephen Hawking said that he could prove on the blackboard, I think he said at least 9 or 10. And if you can go that far, you can, all you have to do is to extend the equation and you can go down as far as you can.
Yes, it's fascinating. And, you know, along those same lines, there's so much more to human consciousness than they'd ever want us to know. I mean, we have the capabilities to heal our own bodies, and the powers of our consciousness could unlock things, potential powers that we never thought we had.
Yeah, and if we look at that, actually what you said is based on a presumption that we are real. Maybe we're not. Could it be that we are just a mind-created illusion off of the mind behind it all that is projected outwards and given the same kind of value as you have if you are under a hypnotic trance? I love this scenario. Let me run this one by you. I'm a hypnotist, and let's say that I put you in a soft chair and talk to you for 15 minutes, and I tell you that when you wake up, you're going to see an elephant standing next to you in the room. I snap my finger and bring you back out, and you look around, you're going to see that elephant. It's right there. You can reach out and you can touch the snout on. You can feel the rough skin on the snout. You can hear him breathing. But I can't see the elephant because there's no elephant there. So what happened to your real world?
Right.
Did it go away?
Yes, it's all in our perception. And, you know, that being said, we could create our own reality, either positive or negative, based on how we're viewing it. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you think of that elephant. So that elephant, you felt the skin of that elephant, but it wasn't there. So if we take that further, that was just a manipulation of the mind. So let's say that if we are, this gets interesting. Let's say that we are an immensely powerful spiritual being that is hungry for experiences. And we want those experiences, and we don't really know all of what we want even. We just want to create scenarios that is interesting. So let's say that before we even created the body that we walk around in, we had, some major issues that we wanted to experience. And for the mind behind it, or the spirit or soul, and not spirit, but soul behind it, which is our spark of life that is an offshoot off of the universal mind. Let's say that we wanted to have an experience and create someone, let's say like a wife or someone, a life partner that we wanted to experience a whole lifetime with. Or we wanted to have a car accident because we haven't experienced that before. See, on the other side of this, where the mind lives, there is no such thing as bad experiences or good experiences, because they only last for a split moment back there, and it's complete. Here, it seems like a lifetime sometimes, because our time is stretched. There, time and space does not act as we know it. But if we come here with a mission to do certain things, the mind then create all the scenarios to make that happen. And from what I understand, there is some help behind the curtain in order to make all these things happen. We are not all doing it by ourselves. We have some help of other entities behind the scenes, so to speak.
Now, I'm glad you said that. That kind of brings me into our hidden reality and, you know, possibility of extraterrestrials or interdimensional beings. Now, ever since ancient times, we or our elite even have communed with the gods for information, knowledge, and it seems that after a while, you know, they either stop talking about it or it stopped occurring, but I believe there's still some communication with what some would consider gods, some would consider you know, demons, some would consider aliens. You know, what are your thoughts on the possibilities that our elite still have some communication with otherworldly beings?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, even a little over 100 years ago, they were, when Abraham Lincoln was in the White House, there's stories, and there's writing about this, that they heard him talking in his office. When they opened the door and said, "Hey, who are you talking to?" And he says, "Oh, don't worry about it. I have visitors." So there is a lot of people that have this, all ranging from unseen influences that put thoughts in your mind that turns out as channelings, all the way up to face-to-face meetings with entities that take on a physical form for the purpose of maybe ease of communication. And I had an experience like that. So I know that can happen. And on the other hand, let's go all the way to the alien issue. The alien issue, that can be so deep. They come from absolutely everywhere. Other planets in the solar system, they come from the bases on the moon, they come from interdimensional worlds or interdimensional Earths, that is in the same place as we are, just different vibration. And they may have their own agenda. They, not all of them, may have our best interest at heart, but they're here for a reason. And if we can communicate with them and find out what the reason is, we can actually have some good from that.
Now, what are your thoughts on some factions in control that may be in contact with some malevolent beings that don't have our best interest in mind? I mean, you hear the stories of reptilians or the Draco in control. What are your thoughts? Have you done any research into that?
Yeah, it appears as there is good and bad outside of the physical too, or on other worlds as well as on the moon and other places in this solar system. So I think the physical reality extends quite a ways. And I think most of the things and entities in the physical reality are subject to something that we call ego, because it is in that vibration. And whenever you have ego, you're going to have something that don't necessarily happen to the best of everybody all the time. And the aliens, the extraterrestrials, they fall right into that category. Even if they are in a higher spiritual arena, when they come here, they may take on the physical form and possibly for a short period of time be subject to that vibration that could bring out ego.
Do you think that it's possible that some of the agendas being pushed today could be coming from, like the orders may be coming from off planet?
Oh, I absolutely believe so. I absolutely, and the whole world is a kind of like a prison system. If you look at the governmental structures and the religious structures, then it is sick what's going on. If you look at, let's say, I come out of the Christian faith when I grew up, and I have studied that quite a bit, and I find out that even to be a pope, there is three requirements to be a pope, and that is in writing. Dr. Schneblen, he wrote about that in one of his books. He was a red-robed cardinal working in the Vatican and in the archives. And he found papers and he snuck them out and he proved it in his book. He showed the papers where there's three requirements to become a pope. First of all, you have to be a Catholic priest. Well, he qualifies for that. Then you have to be a satanic priest. And you have to be a 92nd degree Mason. We've only known about 33 here in the US, but there is 92 degrees. And the people that are 33rd degree Masons here in the United States, they don't really know much. But from 33 to 92, that's where all the secrets, that's where all the satanic rituals and those things are housed. And that's where you learn that. And that opened up doorway into other realities where they get counsel, especially on control and things like that, so they can stay in power, because the power structure here feeds what's outside, the mind of what's outside in those vibrations.
And you always hear about how these entities may even feed on our fear, our hate, and our feelings, and some of the things you see on the media, some of the things that they're pushing cause us to have fear and these feelings, and they may be actually feeding off of this.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And that's even the more day-to-day abduction incidents that a lot of people have. They're also subject to their fear, sometimes feed also the mind of the abductors. So I think that it's a big reason why the control of what's going on this planet comes from above, or not necessarily above, but from a higher vibration. Even though it is a negative one, it's a higher one than us.
Now, you hear also about forced depopulation. We heard of Agenda 2020 and now Agenda 2030. I see how they are definitely trying to poison us with the food we're drinking, the food we're eating, and the water we're drinking. Basically, everything, the air we're breathing. They're trying to dumb down our children with the programming on TV. I mean, I see the agendas there. Is this something that you've noticed along the way?
Yeah. And the Agenda 21 or Agenda 30 now, 3030, it is something that has been an ongoing for the last 30 years or so, or maybe even more. It is well established. And let's talk a little bit about that Agenda 21, because not a lot of people know about it. And if they heard about it, it sounds so outrageous that it's hard to believe. And see, that Agenda 21, that comes out of a United Nations Earth Summit project that was started in Rio de Janeiro in 1992. 178 nations signed on to it. And they adapted this 350-page document, basically describing how to install a one-world government, tyrannical government, run by unelected bureaucrats. And they set down rules for you to live by, and they will be micromanaging everybody's life. And this is what they agreed on. They said that this was necessary. And they also go a little further back than it's just 2 years later, I think it was, the 1994, they also had another, the International Conference on Population in Cairo, Egypt. They realized that, or they said, that Earth population is out of control, it must be curtailed, and they said that on Earth, we have an ideal population of 800,000 people, and we must use all measures to reach that level by 2021. All measure, how far does that go?
It makes you wonder if possibly the rollout of 5G may have something to do with this.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Your thoughts
Yes, absolutely. And I tell you, it goes further than that. To get politicians to do some of what we consider stupid things they're doing. See, a lot of these people, they're intelligent, they're highly educated, but they still do stupid things. what we consider stupid, but to them, it makes perfect sense. And if you ask any futurist will tell you that by the time we get to 2030, maybe 2040, well over half the jobs in the world are going to be done by robots. What in the world do you need people for? And in their spiritless, lifeless thinking, let's kill them. Let's get rid of them. And they've been working on this project for quite a while. So they're deeply in it. In fact, it is implemented all the way down into the local communities very often. And it's camouflaged as sustainable development and environmental programs. That's when they start herding people. Oh, don't hurt the environment out there. Come to the city. Here's where we're going to all house you. And eventually, they'll probably build a wall around it and make sure that you don't go anywhere. But this is an ongoing program, and they've been trying. They started back in the 70s, probably, with the AIDS virus. That was maybe for another reason. According to what has come out, that was tested in the gay community in San Francisco and also in New York and in Haiti, and where they wanted to see how it would fly. Well, it flopped. The SARS virus in the Far East, that flopped. A lot of these things that they have, new diseases that they have created, flopped on them. And now
testing them.
Yeah, they're just testing stuff, you know. See it there? Well, you know, it's like throw mud on the wall and something's going to stick, right? So they keep doing these. And I would say chemtrails, it is obvious it has a different reason than what we are told. The Air Force now has come out and admitted, and so has NASA, that yes, we are doing this spraying up there in the higher atmosphere to get the sunlight to reflect off into space so it wouldn't be as warm here. The temperature would not go up as fast. Well, have they ever heard about the greenhouse effect? That is, see, a photon particle. The photon has two particles to it. One of them is the energy particle, and then you have the light particle. When the photon comes in and hits something, it breaks up. The energy particle have more mass, it passes through, but the light particle bounces off. So when the energy particle passes through, that's the one particle that makes your car hot in the summertime, but you don't have any more light in the car. It's the same light because the light has bounced off the roof, but the energy particle gets stuck in the car. Same thing with the atmosphere around Earth. The energy particle comes through. What they're doing up there makes absolutely no difference. And they know that. They're not stupid people. But the reason for doing it is because of all the other stuff, all the chemicals. They have disease, cancer microbes. They got all kinds of goofy stuff in that sprayer.
Yeah, we're basically an experiment down here for them to spray whatever they feel like on us.
Yeah, and we have seen there's been done tests on some of the things, you know, these kind of like little feathers that come down out of the sky, and they've been taken to the lab and they've been looking at it, and there's really nasty stuff, neurotoxins and bacteria or virus. That's actually not bacteria so much, but virus.
Now, I believe that another big part of this is the censorship we're seeing now, especially amongst our community, what they call conspiracy channels, conspiracy sites. They took out Alex Jones. I think they're making it harder for information that we're talking about to be heard, so they can just make it easier to get their agenda going. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, we can see it everywhere. The really big freedom fighters on the internet, they're starting to get problems. And I think that, you know, even talking about this here now, you know, there's very good likelihood that even this show will be defunded. So we don't really know what they do. And they have total power over what the people going and placing videos on the internet do. So I don't know. That's just something that something has to break. But, you know, all the really rough stuff that is happening out there, and even the Georgia Guidestone, they talk about 500,000 people by, it's written in many different languages, and I don't know what the date says on that, but 2030 maybe. But there is a remedy. And it's not going to come from people throwing their shotguns in the back of the pickup truck and driving to Washington. It's not going to do it, because the beast have bigger guns than the people does. But there is one weapon the people can use, and that is one that really cannot be stopped, and that is the human mind. We saw an example of that, one quick one. The last presidential election, people were sick of all the corruption, so they brought somebody else in. And another example of that was some 20-some years ago when there had been drought in Texas. I'm mentioning that because I was part of it. There's been so much drought, hasn't rained for 3 to 4 months in Texas, and there were total drought everywhere. Cattle was dying. Cities and small towns were running out of water. And Art Bell, on his radio show, Coast to Coast AM, he got on the air and asked all the listeners to visualize rain over Texas. All that late that night and the next day, there were thunderstorms all over Texas. And the weather forecasters came out and said, gee, we're dumbfounded. There were no moisture in the computer models anywhere that could create this rain, but it did. They didn't understand it. Well, I did. Because we, several million listeners, we reached into that universal consciousness, and we created that environment for the rain to happen. That's the power of the mind.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And we can use that same system now. We're in the process of putting together a mind, kind of like a brainstorming group like this, a mastermind here that people could be part of, and send me on Facebook, send me a friend request out there, and we'll make sure that you can find out about it.
Very good. Now, I wanted to get into the secret space program. Earlier, you were talking about the possibilities of bases on the moon. First question, do you think that we actually went to the moon? Do you think that happened the way it did?
Oh, we have been on the moon since the mid-1950s. It's just that we didn't go there in the tin can they told us in 1969.
Right. Okay, so let's get into that. How did we get to the moon? Was this after World War II when we started bringing all the paperclip scientists over?
Yeah, that's where we got most of that, because we were able to we captured a couple of the Hanabu flying discs that the Germans made. They flew out all the ones that was flyable, but there were some that was under construction or in repair mode that they couldn't get to fly, so they were left behind. And the Americans caught, I think, two of them, according to Wendell Stevens. I interviewed him twice, or two or three times, on my TV show in Tucson. And he talked about the discs that they captured. And when they got those, they were pretty much done. You know, all they had to do is to make more of them, and they had flying discs looking just like the old German Hanebus, or even the ones before that. So that's where it started. And in 1969, that little contraption that they put together, stuck on the tip of a rocket and sent out there, it may have made it through the Van Allen belt, but the people inside would have been cooked. Let me ask you this quick question. Have you ever struck a fork in a microwave and see what happens?
I have seen that, yes.
Yeah, that's exactly the same thing that would happen if you were trying to fly through the Van Allen belt without an electromagnetic shield around the ship.
Wow.
And scientists don't want to talk about this. NASA, they are mum on it. They don't want to talk about it, but that's how it would work. So we didn't go there in 69, but on my website, I have a lot of pictures of activity on the moon. So there is somebody that's been on the moon for hundreds or thousands of years. So there's obvious, there's things going up there. I have, just before the show, I showed you a pyramid up there on a NASA print.
Yes, it's a very fascinating picture, yeah.
Yeah, and then also there's pictures you can find on page one of my picture gallery on the website. There is a 2-mile-long cigar-shaped ship floating across the surface of the moon, throwing a shadow on the ground. It's not even a question. That is a spaceship. As well as others that also, there is one that is probably about 60 miles long that is looks like it's been crashed because it has dents in it and stuff from meteorites that's been hitting it over the thousands of years. Laying right on the moon, and it's clear as a bell. It's also a NASA print.
How far do you think our secret space program goes? I mean, do you think it is like some of the whistleblowers you hear, Corey Good, Tony Rodriguez? Do you think that we have bases on the moon and that there are actual battles going on? And we may even go further out than that with our bases. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, let me refer to, I wrote something down here for you. I was going to read to you. Ben Rich, he was the head of the Lockheed Skunk Works. And he said, and I want to quote this, that's why I wrote it down. "We already have the means to travel among the stars, but these technologies are locked up in black projects, and it would take an act of God to ever get them out to benefit humanity. Anything you can imagine, we already know how to do." And he also said, "We have the technology to take ET home, and it will not take a life," he meant lifetime, "to do it. There is an error in the equations, and we know what it is." And that opens up the door to absolutely anything that we can think of is possible.
Right. And of course, we've had Trump announce the Space Force. Do you think that this is just a possible way to ease into announcing that we've had a secret space program?
Oh, absolutely. I don't even know why people even question that anymore, because it was Mike Gravel. He said in an interview that we have a space force. It is in existence. It is there. So it is already there. And now they say they're going to make one because they have figured it out that they're not going to be able to keep the secret forever. So now they're doing the space force. So they later on can say, well, yeah, there's a space force. We told you that back in 2018 that we were going to do a space force. And see, now here, 3 weeks later, we got a huge one out there. We did it. I bet that's what they're doing. They're trying to cover their southern end.
Right. Now, on the disclosure end, they've had a couple of little drips here and there. We've had the Tic Tac UFO incident,
yeah.
A couple of other drips from the Pentagon. Do you think disclosure will come from our government or possibly not, possibly be forced from the other side?
Information is power, if you know how to do anything with it, and they do. So I don't think that any government ever will give away power unless they have to. So I am about 99.2764% sure it will never come from government, but it will come from something, some evidence that show up, very likely ET themselves, so they can no longer deny it. That is what I see happening. And or we've had a lot of crashed UFOs. If a big one crashes in downtown, you know, Biloxi, Mississippi, you can't deny it anymore.
Right, definitely. And what are your thoughts on the possibilities that in the near future they could have, some sort of major cataclysm that might involve extraterrestrials? I mean, you hear the stories that the government may fake an alien invasion or something like that using Project Bluebeam. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Bluebeam is a very real project. You can Google it and you'll find it in their own papers, actually. So, yeah, it's there. And that's one of the plans that they have, one of the scenarios. And from what I saw in the soup, in the download, there is two times when you will look up and you see the sky full of ships. The first one is not our friends, because that one will be governmentally instituted. The second one will be our friends, because they are there to set things right, because they realize that, well, okay, the people now have seen the discs, they know that something is here, so now we can come, and they come and clean it up more or less. So a few decades from now, a decade from now, a few years from now, maybe a year or two from now, there will be common knowledge that we have friends in space.
Very interesting. That would be fascinating if that happens. Now, for the last few minutes, I'd like to talk about the powers of our consciousness as it relates to our health. And, you know, you were talking to me about the possibilities of age reversal. So talk about your research into that.
Well, I figured, this is not just me that's saying this. The aging process can be reversed. And the thing about it is that if you go to the Nobel Committee's website, go to 2009, scroll down to medical submissions, and read it. You're going to love what it says in there. Because somewhere in those papers, I read the phrase, one sentence, that if we had enough of this enzyme, because these three doctors that got the Nobel Prize, they discovered an enzyme that reverses the aging process, and nobody was told about it. Of course, we can understand why, because what do you think will happen to pension programs and Social Security if people quit dying, right? That wouldn't be good.
Exactly. Yeah. No, yeah, they wouldn't like that.
No, the thing is that in those papers, there is a phrase in there that says, if the body have enough of this enzyme, there were really no reason why anyone would have to die from old age anymore. And this enzyme is called telomerase, and I am doing it. I feel good. I probably have more energy than people half my age. I'm 73 right now, and I'm doing fine. I've basically never been sick in my life, so that's an advantage. But still, it is working for me. And on my website, I have a blog about it. And also in my book, let me mention that, because I go into details on how you can go about reversing the aging process and what you actually do to get it. The book is A Spiritual Science, Higher Conscious Thinking, and How to Access the Universal Consciousness. And I speak about what you can do to reverse the aging process. I also teach you how to do things with your mind that you could normally believe was impossible. So there's a lot of good stuff in there, and it does teach you how to reach into the universal mind to have downloads like I did. There are ways to do it, but you don't get that living like average people do. You may have to change a little bit of your lifestyle to include meditation and some mind practices and things like that. But that's the simple part. Fun, actually.
Right. And another big part of it is your diet. It's really hard nowadays to get a good diet just because of all the crap that we're sold. You know, the stuff that's good for us is more expensive. A lot of people can't afford that. But, you know, that is another big part is just eating right and trying to combat all the crap that's being put in our bodies.
Yeah. See, science has figured out why people get older and eventually die. And that is that the end of the chromosomes, which is called the telomeres, every time a cell replicates itself, those telomeres get a little shorter, and little shorter every time until they get to the point where they're so short, they're no longer able to keep the end of the chromosome together so that it starts fraying and our genetics are not able to replicate themselves, and we end up stuck with old cells in the body, and we get older and older, and we eventually die. If we have enough of this enzyme, then the telomeres will not get shorter, so the chromosomes will stay together, the cells will be able to replicate themselves, and we don't necessarily have to be older. One more thing there is that there's two ways to do it. There is a pharmaceutical for it that is called the TA-65. I think it'll set you back about anything from $400 to $600 a month. I haven't checked for probably a couple of years or so, but I know back then it was for sale for $400 a month. $400 a month, yeah. And it's the pharmaceutical. And some people say it works, and some people say they don't get any effect from it. I'm doing it the cheap way. And that is using the same kind of method as a man I found. He was 256 years old when he died from an accident. Li Xing Yun in China. He was a martial art instructor for the army, and he was an herbalist and a local spiritual teacher. And he had 20 wives and 21 wives, and I think he had something like 200 children and grandchildren throughout his life. And the government verified his age. I did a lot of research on this guy, and I write about him in that book also. And I found out what he ate. There are several herbs that will help the body to make its own telomerase enzyme. And that is what I'm doing.
Well, you know, so many people, you know, natural doctors have been killed or, you know, quote unquote, suicided for these types of natural cures. You know, there's got to be something behind this. The pharmaceutical companies don't want things like this getting out because it's less money for them, less control for them. And, it'd be amazing if we could figure this out.
The thing is that once you start reversing the aging process, all age-related diseases go away. And you know, that's not a good profit model for pharmaceutical companies. If you could just get to the point where you can stop the aging, but still keep your diseases, they will be all over it. But it don't work that way. Once you start reversing your aging process, then I get emails from people, not often, but maybe two a month or so. I've had emails from people that started this process the same time I did. And they love it because they feel better. They're stronger. They look in the mirror and they say, yeah, these things at the end of my eye, you know, that cuss word called crow's feet, that's going away. So yeah, there's something to this.
Definitely. And Ogie, for the last couple minutes, tell us your thoughts on where you see the world going in the next 5 years. What do you see happening?
Well, it's not going to happen the next month or two, but within the end of this year, I see the swamp being drained to a great extent in Washington. And that will be a good thing, because there will be a new crop that look at the old crop and say, gee, I don't want to do what they did. So it's going to be a better environment. And besides that, as you said, 5 years, we will have an all present, an alien presence. Not necessarily a lot of it, because a lot of people is still stuck in ignorance and religion. So they're going to look at them as demons. So they kind of maybe not totally be everywhere, but we will know they're there, and they will be here helping with certain projects wherever they are invited, because it's time for that now. I saw that happening, but I didn't see any date on it, but it is happening. Because if you look back in history, there are statutes and writings about the alien presence being there several thousand years ago. They were walking side by side with people. So it will happen again.
Yeah, definitely. The evidence was there. And Augie, do you have any anything interesting upcoming on your end that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, the Mastermind group is going to be online here within the next few weeks, and we are going to do Mastermind sessions where we will concentrate on certain things. And you know, remember the Mastermind, the definition for that is when two or more minds are united in harmony, they create a third mind that has the potential mind power of the two or more of them multiplied by each other. So if you got 1,000 people on the internet thinking the same thing, it is not just a thought anymore. Now it's an energy of intention. So that has the mind power of 1,000,000 people, 1,000 times thousands. And this is going to be powerful. So that's the one thing that we're going to do. Otherwise, I do a video, several shows a week on broadcastteamalpha.com. And I also have a radio show that I do. And go there for the 4,900 unbelievable pictures of things from space that we're not supposed to know about. Anything from hidden and banned medical cures to just all kinds of goofy stuff. That is that... the easier way to do that would be at www.universal-consciousness-show.com. And of course, also just go to YouTube and put my name in there, and you'll have a lot of reading or listening.
Oh, yeah, there's tons of Augie Nost on YouTube, definitely. And I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight. That was a fantastic conversation, and I'll definitely have to have you back on.
Oh, I'll be all ears. You just call.
All right. Well, you have a great night.
Thank you.